Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
I met this 6-year-old child with this blank, pale, emotionless face and the blackest eyes, the devil's eyes.
Go for it.
Okay, I'm gonna ask you guys a question, and without even thinking about it, just answer. All right. If you could punch a celebrity, who would you punch? Go. Don't think about it. Don't think about it. Answer.
Daniel Craig.
Wow.
What? Again with a Daniel Craig.
That was.
You said not to think.
To
even
be fair,
that was hard.
Big man, go. Ooh, go. Don't think about it. Don't think about it. Go.
Six.
Who?
Tom Six.
Okay, yeah, definitely.
Mm. Yeah, actually, wait, who's Tom Six?
Do I know Tom director
Human. Oh, fuck him. Yeah, get him and punch in the face. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
There you go.
Go on.
Don't clock!
Of course, always.
You called it. You called it.
Welcome to the podcast, and that's why I messed up. And you know what I thought I'd do? Because I've noticed a little surge in new kind of subscribers. So welcome. This podcast is about geekery, nerdery, and all else in between from a South London postcode. My name is Shanners. I've got Bruv, the instant classic, to the left of me.
The only token you will find in a horror film who will survive.
Amen. On the right to me, I've got Big Man, a.k.a. Booger Red.
Good evening, people. And no doubt, if it's a horror movie, I will probably be the first one to die.
For real.
I agree. Sorry, mate. You're done.
I agree. I agree. For those new people who are coming into the podcast, how this usually works is one of us has a topic and the other two members are blind. So we just basically nakedly react to this topic. But on this occasion, we're doing a Halloween special. This is a bit of a free-for-all because, you know, we just want to explore a few things about Halloween without doing the usual kind of watch these movies. I'd like to kind of recommend, you know, some new stuff, some interesting stuff from, you know, film, TV, gaming, everything. I was thinking of doing a trivia, but I think I might have to just, like, warm up Big Man and Bruv to do that on another time. I'm just going to do, like, a mastermind for both of them.
Yeah, especially after work, no.
Yeah, definitely not. You'd be like, I'm sorry. I don't even know. But Bruv, you know, little thing. Bruv, you know, you've got an encyclopedic knowledge. Like, you know who originally directed Friday the 13th.
Nope.
Wow. Is that how you fuck with me immediately?
isn't it... What's his name? Stephen... Not Stephen Cunningham. Stephen... What's his face?
Sean.
Sean Cunningham. No, it's not Sean Cunningham. That's a fucking character.
No. You're right. It's Sean Cunningham. Oh, Sean Cunningham.
Somebody said I was thinking that like, it was a character from Ferris Bueller. I don't even know why it was Ferris Bueller. That's how tired I am right now. You can't ask questions like this, sis. No, you
okay. I'm gonna go easy. But so let's start. Big man, didn't you go and see Halloween Kills?
Yes, I did.
Oh, you saw it too, bruv?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, okay. You know what? Big man took this last time. Bruv, what's your spoiler-free verdict on Halloween Kills?
Before I even how I feel about Halloween Kills, I want to say one thing. Let's put some respect on this name. Nick Castle. Do you know who Nick Castle is?
No.
Big man, do you know? There you go. Wait. Nick Castle is the original Shape, aka Michael Myers.
So
he was in the first one. He was brought back for the Halloween 2018,
oh, cool,
Halloween Kills, and the next one, which will be Halloween's End.
Yeah.
Now, another reason why we should know this name, sis, because he's actually been in the biz for a long time. He put it like behind the scenes as a writer, director. He has done some big things. He has done, mm-hmm. he directed The Last Starfighter.
Oh, snap. Oh,
he
uh-oh.
Wrote...
Be careful when you say that too, Lam. I might just turn
yeah,
up.
Yeah, it's okay. He wrote Escape from New York. So he's basically the one who created the
car. No way.
Seriously?
Oh,
seriously?
For real?
He wrote that. He did the screenplay for Hook.
Oh, my gosh.
And Chantel. He directed and wrote a film close to our hearts.
What is it?
The Boy Who Could Fly. He was also actually in it. Yeah, he was actually in it. He was like, I can't remember which character he played, but he was in it as a bit part. But put some respect on Nick Castle's name because he's been in the industry for a long time and he's done some good work. And he's probably like, I don't feel like I've heard his name enough. When it comes to horror icons, because at the end of this man was the Shape. He is the Shape technically. He still is the Shape. Killing people and taking names, man. So respect to Nick Castle, original Michael Myers. But as for Halloween Kills, there's a lot to take in. Do you know who's in it, sis? I didn't realize was in it until watching it. Gary from Weird Science.
Anthony Michael Hall.
Yeah.
What the?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a throwback and a half. Jeez.
Yeah, like without spoiling, but I can tell you what character he plays. He basically plays if you guys remember the original Halloween film. Amy Lee Curtis was babysitting the kid. The kid was called Tommy something. I can't remember his name. But yeah, he's playing that character in this film. But yeah, I gotta say, one, it is a really good film. Graphic as anything. Very graphic. When I saw one part, I'd send a voice message to Big Man and Cuss for a bit. Cause I was like, nah, man.
Wow.
Like, nah, man, I'm sorry. It's like, okay. Again, without spoiling too much. Let's do some maths. Yeah. I want to spend my disbelief in certain things because I've got a bit of that imagination. So I'll let a few things slide. But the idea is that, this is technically set in 2018.
Yeah.
So Halloween was 1970, whatever. So 2018, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So Michael Myers, in all fairness, if we do the maths, he's probably about 60-something years old.
Yeah.
All right. If you saw the first Halloween, so 2018 Halloween.
Yeah.
You know that he was in a mental asylum, basically standing on the spot, whatever. I'm not doing much.
Yeah.
He won't do much. He won't do I ain't seen no cardio training, no weight training or anything. No. My man's just standing around doing nothing. Yeah. Now, again, this
was that when he No, see, I'm getting them confused now.
You're thinking of Rob Zombie's one. No, forget that one. That's not that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I'm starting to... Because I was going to say, did he just... is that one where he beat Ken Thing in the
no, that's, yeah, that's,
I'm
that's,
like, no, that's the Rob Zombie one.
Rob Zombie.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Rob Zombie.
Yeah.
So, like, I find it hard to believe a 60-something-year-old man without any form of keeping in shape can take on an army of men. All right, that's all I'm gonna say. That's kind of that's what I turned to Big Man. I was like, yeah, man. Yeah, you come up against a bunch of men with weapons, and he wins. I can't, but I did.
Okay.
But other than that, yeah, I like where they're going. I like where they're going with this. I'm pretty invested in it. Everyone in it was so good. It did really put like a good focus on, well, not good focus, but a focus on mob mentality.
Yeah.
What fear can do in the wrong hands, and when the wrong people get the wrong words, like just like word of mouth goes in the wrong place and then it goes, spreads like a virus. They did that so well. But yeah, it was, like, Jamie Lee Curtis was cool in it.
Always props, always props, Jamie Lee, always.
Nothing but love to, again, Nick Castle. His presence was met very well, but yeah, I can't say anything bad about it.
Okay. Oh, okay. So I think I might actually check that out. Actually, Big Man, you agree? Disagree?
Oh no.
Anything you want to bring up?
It's hard for me because as someone who's a fan of the Halloween franchise, personally, I was underneath the conclusion is how far can one man go? And that's the story with Michael. Every time you knocked him down, you hope that will be it. But keeping this spoiler free, it takes something to witness a man's craft.
Okay.
You have to sit back and admire sometimes.
Man's getting eloquent and poetic.
Brad will instantly know what scene I'm talking about. Yeah, yep. But like a spoiler free. It takes something to behold to watch a man kill a victim and then practice his accuracy of knife throwing while the victim is already dead.
Okay.
Now, for me, that is beautiful because we've seen Michael do a madness in nearly 50-odd years of slaughter. But this film, personally, takes it in a direction where we've never seen him. We've seen him take a licking and keep on ticking. But this time, they have pissed him off. And he's not even laughing, well, like he ever showed any emotion. This time, there is pretty much, it's his way of saying, here's my middle finger to anyone and everyone who gets in my way. And no stone is left unturned. The cinema was laughing. Don't get me wrong, there's some brilliant comedy sequences. Cinema was laughing. And then there's a few scenes where you're flinching, people were looking away from the camera, you had your couple of screams, which is good. I loved it. Roll on Halloween Ends.
Okay, that's next year, right?
Yes, cool. It is.
Fingers crossed. Yes. Fingers crossed everything. Okay, cool.
Yeah, they filmed both of them back to back, so.
Interesting and intriguing. That's the thing, I remember, like, I saw in a trailer the nod to one of my weird favourite Halloweens. Which is Season of the Witch.
I
saw a nod. I saw the mask. I was like, I know that is a nod to Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. I see it. I see what you're doing. That's my my weird guilty pleasure. Halloween 3.
No,
I don't feel guilty because I don't like Halloween 5. So
right,
Halloween 5. Someone with Paul Rudd in it, right?
Right. Someone needs to help me out. Which Halloween film ends with Michael being locked up in prison, but someone breaks him out?
5.
Thought so.
That's when they went the whole with the thorn thing and
that was the cult thing, yeah.
The cult thing. Paul Rudd, who bet money. Okay, everyone, I would like you to go and watch. Well, I don't want him to watch it. I'd like you to go and get a screenshot of Paul Rudd in Halloween 5. And have a look at Paul Rudd now. And if you want to talk, because I don't know what happened.
He's like 50-something years old, and he doesn't look his age.
Okay, do you want to know how it gets even worse? He looks older in Clueless.
Right? He does! does.
He looks older in Clueless. He's young in Halloween 5, but looks younger now.
Yeah, yeah. Someone made a deal, and we're not.
Ben, someone did something. I'm just saying. And that meme with the look at us, you know, him with the hot wings, look at us. I'm just like, Paul, we're looking at you, and I don't know what one. And I just want to know. But shout out to Paul Rudd, the only highlight in that disaster of a film.
But to me, let's be honest, like, I'll probably say, like, even though I don't want them to admit, after Season of the Witch, there was no point.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get the timelines right. Cause I know this time, because that's when Halloween got so confused when it came to the timelines. It was more confused. It was more convoluted than bloody Friday the 13th.
The truth is, they convoluted it. Why?
Yeah, because there was the ones with the little girl. Cause the little girl was Laurie's daughter, apparently, right?
Yeah. Yes. Was it just the other sister's daughter? Yeah. Not. I think they started to go, oh, it wasn't Laurie's, but if she was a different, she was still a Strode.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
And then in part 5, that was her at the beginning, older, giving birth to another.
Because that implies
another Myers.
But that implied, didn't they imply that something had happened?
I think they did in one of the director's cut.
This cut, yeah.
But...
Yeah.
I'm so glad these films have come out to just say, yeah, retcon that, because that shit was confusing and awkward.
Because then this movie was age 20, where she beheaded him, and that was the end of the franchise until one Busta Rhymes decided to throw hands in Resurrection.
Oh, I was hoping we wouldn't get there. I was trying to avoid getting to this point.
You knew we were going to have to talk about it.
I was hoping that we were better than this and we didn't have to talk about it.
You know, but you know what the one highlight of that film is?
Which one? Resurrection.
Yeah, the one highlight is when characters are cosplaying, one of them doesn't blackface.
What?
Because yeah. one of the characters in there, because they're at a Halloween party when watching the live stream before they knew it was called a live stream, which is quite weird to think what they're doing.
Mm.
And a set of characters cosplay as Vince Vega and Thing from Pulp Fiction. And the only thing the white boy does is just wear the afro. He doesn't feel the need to blackface. And I think that needs credit.
Yeah.
And that's the only highlight of the film.
It was terrible, though. Wow. So many.
That's like, common courtesy was literally the highlight of the film.
Yeah.
Fair, the Rob Zombie remakes, I thought they were... Well, the first one I thought was good. The second one was way out there.
I didn't get to the second one. The first one,
it wasn't that bad. I mean, it wasn't
Do you know what it is? Yeah. Do you know what it is for me? Because I saw the director's cut, and the director's cut was a bit too rapey for me.
Mm. Yeah.
Also, Big Man speaking from an element of bias.
I'm a zombie fan, obviously,
and the Sherry Moon zombie fan in particular.
We can't blame him there. Because
on the level, I can't really blame him.
She ain't Asian either, to be fair.
The one who's going back in time. Sherry Moon zombie once again looked older in House of a Thousand Corpses than she does now. I don't know what's going on.
To be honest, I'll give a quick, because she was a highlight of the first film, because I like to say, because like, even after seeing the A Thousand Corpse trilogy, for whatever you want to call it,
the Firefly trilogy.
It was nice to see her evolution, because I feel like she became a better actress. And then by Halloween, first Halloween, she was so much better than she was in the Thousand Corpses. Way better. So I'll give credit for that. But yeah,
I think because of Halloween, you've got to kind of, especially how Rob chose to do it.
Mm.
You got to kind of amp it, because everything in that was hyper. It was hyper, hyper, hyper. Everybody, you know, the whole, oh, skull, fuck you. And then it's like, okay, oh, good morning. how are you? Cool. So I think everything's hyper, hyper, hyper. And I get it, because that's the vision that Rob Zombie was going for. You know what it is? I have this weird thing where I don't like a lot of Rob Zombie's movies, but yeah. I appreciate Rob Zombie. And I appreciate the fact that every time I hear he's such a nice person, he's really tentative on set, he's, you know, he'll push himself, but he's not going to be like a bastard on set. And I just keep hearing it time and time again. It just makes me feel like warm and cuddly towards him. Even though I might not like what his output is.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just a bit too much. It's just a bit like, oh, okay, it's a bit too much for me.
Because that's the problem I had with the Fireflies trilogy. I don't like to see
I don't
want to
feel sorry for them.
Yeah, they're not heroes. Yeah. They're not heroes.
No, they're not. Seen them, right? Far from it. And I got into that by pure mistake. I think I was out one night, got in, and you know when you've got the TV on and some random film just starts?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I got into Devil's Rejects, because I was just, well, what kind of film's this where as soon as it starts, there's a massive shootout? And I was thinking, what the hell's up with this clown? Obviously, being Captain Spaulding.
Rest in peace, Sid.
And I was literally cracking up, saying, you know, I shouldn't be laughing at this, but this is way too funny.
Mm.
And then that's only I discovered this, it was actually a sequel. So I thought, right, time to go back, watch the first one. Messed up as House of Thousand Corpses was, that was good. Devil's Rejects just was a next level film.
Mm.
And then the time hit from Free From Hell, I think, no offense here, I ain't backing you lot. You lot are sick. You can't be made to look like the heroes, which as in a twisted way, they were portrayed. Far as I'm concerned, they were dead. No one couldn't survive those amount of bullets at the end of the second film and kick on. But it rubs on me as well, anything is possible. But yeah, I'm not going to knock them because I've got them and I enjoyed those films. I'm just glad that is.
But you know what? I think I'm never like... One, the older I'm getting, the more I don't believe in guilty pleasures.
Yeah.
I don't believe it's like, oh, I can't, because it's like what you like.
Mm-hmm.
If you can point out, you can say, oh, I can see why someone might not like this, but I like it. That's kind of it. It's done. It's in. Like I said, I would not sit down and watch Rob Zombie's films. I would love to talk to him and interview him and like see the world from his point of view. I think he's got some interesting visuals, interesting perspectives, and comes across like a really decent, nice guy. So someone I'd like to definitely like interview in the future and things like that. Love to do that.
I know your boy talks about him highly, isn't it, Sham?
Which boy is that?
Mr. Copeland.
Why are we doing this now?
Oh, big man, you read my mind. I was gonna bring up at some point, but I didn't know when. Thank you for that.
Why are we doing this now?
On this day,
look, shout out.
I see clearly.
Oh my god. Look, don't get my heart fluttering. Is he here? Right. Are we going to watch a documentary? Compose myself. But yeah, I'm the older I'm getting, the more it's kind of like, I just like what I like. And I'm open to stuff, and I'm not going to apologize for liking that thing. I can also, because I like something, I can also again go, oh, I can see the flaws in this thing as well. So, yeah, like there are certain things that I just love and enjoy. I often fall asleep watching Tremors.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To the point where last night I had a deep thought. I started analysing whether Tremors actually passes the Bechdel test, and it kind of does.
It still holds up well.
Sorry?
I think it still holds up very well.
It holds up. There are parts where I can see, I was like, oh, if you had a good editor here, you could thin this up. And there's sometimes a lot of dead space with it. Like, they've got characters who literally are in shot and don't talk. But the reason why, weirdly, so those who don't know, the Bechdel test is basically you have to have two women who are in the movie who are not props, but they also talk to each other, not about the main male characters. And that does happen. It happens in Willy Chang's store, where the sculptress and what's the name is the survivalist talk about the situation, but they don't refer to Earl Val at all.
That, yeah.
They're just talking about it. I'm like, oh, that actually does technically pass it. I'm not saying it's a great, great film, but in that thing, the women got to be characters to get rather than disposable props.
Yeah.
They got to be characters. So the survivalist's wife, she I can't remember her name. Disproving my point, but she, because the things I know her real name because she's Reba McEntire. So I just see her as Reba every time. and she's a country and western singer, but she's always like, you know, she's giving direction and doing stuff and taking part, and she has something to add. There's the main the girl who does the seismology. They're always constantly asking her, what should we do now, which is always quite funny.
Why are you asking me?
because they have her education, they hold it up. They hold her up. So when they're like, what do you think it's doing now? She's like,
why do you keep asking me?
Literally, why do you keep asking me? And I noticed, like, looking at the shots of the camera, it doesn't linger too much on, like, you know how sometimes it's very, especially in horror films, it lingers on boobs, lingers on that, lingers on this. Even when she does have to kind of take off her trousers, it kind of makes sense as to why that happened. It's not like damn. Again,
there's no lingering shot. It's just like, get off right now, run.
Yeah. And the next scene, they're giving her clothes. There you go. The premise is one of my favorites. And then someone goes, it's not very highbrow. It's like, I'm not here for the highbrow. I'm here to be entertained. I'm here to enjoy something. And it's one of the FIFAs where I like almost everybody in it. Even the annoying kid, because the bit I love is when, weirdly, I like that he begins being an arsehole. He doesn't get redemption. The kid, do you remember the little kid who just sits there asking to go and get beer? But then he's either, we're never sure if it's his dad or uncle, Nesta, when he dies, he's like, you gotta do something. But at the end, he's still an arsehole.
Yeah.
I like that. Because, like, no, he's not really.
To be fair, like, if you've watched any of the sequels, he's still an arsehole in the sequels as well.
I see.
Like, he comes back for one film. I think it's number 3 or 4.
How many trimmers are there?
About six.
Bloody hell.
Because, like, there was a series that brought back Kevin Bacon briefly, but it didn't really go anywhere. So the main films had Earl, pretty much Earl basically was always in the films. The last one they did, which I think came out last year, he died, they killed him off.
Oh.
So basically no one original from the show is actually in it. Like in the second one it was Earl is a survivalist, isn't it? That's Burt got killed off in the series.
Oh, so
he got killed off in the last episode because he was basically the main frontrunner for all of them for a while.
Yeah, because by then he got divorced.
Yeah,
because she got sick of him. Yeah.
Yeah, by the second one she was gone. It was Burt and Earl who were the original ones in that one. Then after that was I think it was a prequel actually. And Earl was in that. As a for the prequel, and they basically explain how their families got into imperfection, which wasn't amazing, but it was actually a pretty decent way of actually telling that story.
Okay.
And then there was one. I think the fourth one when they actually went back to perfection.
I've seen that. I remember the cover of it. I have not seen it because I stopped after they had legs.
Yeah. They had actually in that one they had it was Bert. I call her Lex because obviously that's her name in Jurassic Park, but the girl from
Ukraine, yeah.
But her mama in it, and that was actually really it, to be honest. The arsehole kid, he was in it. He was about real estate trying to sell shit, trying to get production like sold and get people out of there basically. It had a strong life. I'm pretty sure they had like about 7 films.
I was confused that there was 5 Sharknados. So,
go away. It just seems to be turning out more and more films every year.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think Puppet Master's worse. And they're like 18, and then was something stupid. Was it Amityville?
Puppet Master. Amityville have like 10.
I don't know. I don't even know. Even though I did listen to, I did hear. Or there's a documentary with the real kid from that, from Amityville. He is not doing well. He's not doing well.
I'm not even laughing at the poor kid. It's the way you just said it. It's like he's having withdrawals from the event
He's an adult now. And like, so obviously the original Amityville family who left off 28 days. It's that. The actual real life kid from that.
Oh.
and he's not doing well.
Okay, let's get some straight. No one died, right?
No one. Okay. Okay.
That's what I'm hearing.
Those don't know. Okay. In the case?
In the case.
Right. Okay. It's actually two families. So the original amateur film, the film that we know, mm-hmm. is basically that. So the Mateos, or they're called. We're Brolin in it. Mm-hmm. They move to this house. It's the house of possessed. They move out 28 days. Right. The actual case is that a family did die in there before. They were killed by. They were shot dead by one of their children.
Okay, that I do recall, but I'm talking about like the family who moved in after that, though. They didn't die.
No, no one died. Yes, yeah, no one died. And there's evidence to suggest that it's complete BS.
Yeah.
And the Warrens got involved in this as well.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, okay, that's
love the Warrens.
What? Represent the Warren crew, know what I'm saying?
something about the Warrens.
Strong name, powerful.
Strong, right, big strong, man? Powerful.
Amen to that, bro.
Amen, bro.
I don't know why, but I listened to a documentary with him, but I think it's called My Amityville Horror, and there are parts where he says things, I'm like, okay. And he's very like New York, you know? So there's a part we sit down in therapy, he's like, what's the most traumatic thing that's happened to you? And I'm like, that's not how therapy works. Don't compare to the therapist. And he was talking about this whole thing, my hand got numb and da da, and there was a pig, it was an animated pig. I was like, okay, we're gonna, oh god. I mean, obviously something's happened, but he's just a bit. And then the camera crew make the mistake towards the end of asking if we take a lie detector test. Oh Jesus, who told them to ask you this? What you? I should take it. What's that machine gonna tell you that I ain't gonna tell you? It's like, uh oh. There might be a murder on this documentary. Yeah, he's very, a very interesting character. I could say. I think you can find a documentary if you're interested, but it's not exactly a fun way to spend your Halloween. There's more interesting stuff out there, I guess. But
You saying that? Have you watched any of the Conjuring franchise?
I have. I watched the first one,
mm-hmm.
and was a bit like, thank God I'm watching it in high day. Really, really, really good pacing, like the atmosphere. Yeah. Didn't watch the second one, and then it just started to go off to Annabelle, the Nun. Mm. I was just like, okay.
It's a Conjuring universe.
It's a
Conjuring
universe. Yeah.
Is it CU? Nah, CU. I'm sorry.
Okay, let's see this one. How do you connect The Conjuring
uh-huh.
to Aquaman?
James Wan.
Okay, side note. Did you know Annabelle appears in Aquaman?
What?
Where?
Oh, come on.
So, I'm at 10 minutes into the film where he's underwater.
Uh-huh.
On the left-hand side, if you look closely, Annabelle drifts past him.
Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah,
I'm gonna watch it tonight.
But when I heard it, I'm like, yeah, right. And then you watch him, and oh shit, there she is. Very much. But the Conjuring franchise, the first movie, absolutely loved it because I went in not knowing absolutely nothing about it, and that was a cinema experience where I have not seen so much people jump.
I'm not surprised. I jumped in high day.
Yeah, I don't jump for any film, but any film that can get me to jump day or night, yeah, it's a setup for me. And that definitely did it.
I'm trying to think what was the last horror film other than Halloween that I saw in cinema. I can't even remember now before that, because I think thanks to lockdown, I've gone snowblind to what I actually watched in cinema.
Mm.
Horror film-wise.
Was it with me, bro?
I think it was, actually, yeah.
It was It Part 1 with me.
Who did I see It 2 with? Did I see it in cinema? I can't remember now.
I don't know. I didn't.
I didn't see It 2 in cinema, but I did see It 1, yeah. Yeah, because we were coming from Bloody. We were at the convention, weren't we?
We were at the convention, yeah. So that's what we were like, yeah, let's go see it. And then you had that yellow hoodie on.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yes.
I got a yellow hoodie on.
Yeah, that was a pure accent. I wasn't even paying attention. I literally was like, I was going for Luke Cage look, and I got that instead.
Yeah, because
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Have a look at... Oh, no. Oh, no. I think that may have been the last horror I saw in the cinema as well.
Being prior to Halloween, I saw a British horror movie called Censor that was got a bit of hype online, possibly really, really good. To be fair, not a bad horror film. It's one of those ones that kind of messes with your mind.
Wait, is this the one where she is like back in the day and she works for the BBFC?
That one.
Oh, okay, yeah. Is it good?
That I enjoyed.
Okay. Because
you think it's one thing, then it just hits you like, whoa, okay. Yeah, for a small budget, very impressed and very well acted by everyone involved. So okay. One to watch for when it eventually arrives on streaming devices.
Okay.
See, I've got to say, there's not many horror films that I... Yeah, I can't say there aren't many British horror films that get me hyped. I mean, like, I think the last one that surprised me and I actually quite liked, and the reason why it surprised me, because Danny Dyer's in it. That's the reason.
That was funny.
Severance was good. That was funny.
Yeah, that was funny.
That's really underrated. Severance.
Yeah, I really like. Everyone was so good in there, and like the
and shocked.
Yeah. The blend of horror and just comedy just went so well. It was just,
Since you mentioned Severance, I just got a bazooka going in my head right now.
That's what I was thinking of, the bazooka bit.
Mm.
Yeah, because it's like, to me, it's like the ones that I hold up as like best British horror, Dog Soldiers, straight up.
Yes.
That's my go-to.
Dog Soldiers, God, yeah. It's like, yeah, if you want to see Dog Soldiers for real, Descent, but I can't sit down and watch it. If you want terror, yeah, watch that.
Descent is Blake. Actually, I got a story for Descent. Apparently, I found this out recently. There was a those budget films which basically try and like piggy bank off of mainstream films that are coming out. So like AVP for Alien vs Predator, there's like Alien vs Hunter for Invasion of the Body Snackers, there's
AKA the works of UA Ball.
There's a big film company called Bloody Asylum. They do a bunch of films like that. I mean, they're the ones that did I Am Omega with Mark Dacascos. Yeah, there you go. But But yeah, a few years back, before this was even more of a mainstream thing, there was a film that came out called Alien 2, which was trying to piggyback off of obviously the of Alien of Ridley Scott's Alien.
Yeah.
But like this was kind of like, I think it was like an Italian American film. And it was like, it was a weird story. It was like, I can't describe it right. So basically it was about a group of spelunkers. One happened to be psychic, which I really can't explain why that was a thing. And this, this alien organism comes down to Earth, gets somehow infiltrates their group. And when they go in these these cave areas, that's when it starts to slowly take over, blah blah blah. And the spelunking areas or just like the cave areas are very kind of like similar to what Descent did.
Right, okay.
So even though my man basically was trying to piggyback off of Aliens, so basically trying to make money off that, and like Aliens actually tried to sue them for it. Yeah. To the point where the only reason why they didn't really win the case is because there was nowhere to really prove that the word alien could be copyrighted, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
My man tried to sue Descent for basically... for basically, you know, stealing their idea from their film. And I was like, wait, what?
What does the spelunking only belong to them? Oh, right, okay.
And one thing I'll give credit for, like the scenes that they did in the case were pretty good. That's probably the best things about the film. But yeah, I just thought I'd give it a little tidbit.
That is interesting.
Moral story is don't be a dick. Make your own shit. There we go.
Amen. Or ask permission.
That too.
If you can do your interpretation, ask permission. Like, see, the thing with Descent is it hits on so many levels. It's that beginning, which is like, what? Whoa, okay. And then it's just, and also it feeds into my claustrophobia. I'm not claustrophobic, but watch Descent.
I become claustrophobic
because that whole bit where she panics and the mate goes, "What are you frightened of? The worst has already happened, and everything is closing in." I'm just like, And I love the fact that you watch that film and for a good, is it an hour, 45, other than the beginning, nothing else bad happens. And then the last half an hour is just to the wall, balls, terror. Mm. And always from the place you think it should be. But The Descent is always one of my, like, if someone's like British horror, I'm like, The Descent, Dog Soldiers, always.
And you know, I cannot wait. Dog Soldiers being given a 4K release.
Ooh, that'd be good.
Yeah,
I'd like to see that. You don't know if I like to. I enjoy watching. That's not really hyped up enough. The Fog.
Oh yeah,
asterisk that. The original The Fog. I've got a really nice Blu-ray copy of it.
The Fog had what's his name from Big Trouble in Little China, Wang, in it, right? The main Chinese guy that was Jack Burton's friend.
Mm.
He's in The Fog, right?
No.
Then what film am I thinking of then?
You're thinking of Prince of Darkness. He's in that. Prince of Darkness. So Prince of Darkness is the one where the researchers go to this church. Wang's in it. Wang's in that. He's part of the party.
Yeah, I don't think I've actually watched The Fog.
Wow. Oh my god. One of my favourite movies. John Carpenter. Janet Leigh's in it, which is really weird. So it kind of like, you're like, what? Okay, cool. Adrian Barbeau, Janet Leigh.
I've definitely not seen that.
Jamie Lee Curtis, and we love the dude from the main
character. Oh, Tom Hanks, isn't it?
That's it. Yeah, the main character from Halloween.
he plays a character called Nick Castle.
But the oh my god! Oh. How have we come full circle? And knowing John Carpenter, he named him after Nick Castle.
Yeah,
completely. Definitely. That's why I'm like, The Fog is one of my favorite John Carpenter movies. When you watch it, you're just like, oh, it's John Carpenter, definitely. Just for the cinematography, the same kind, the similar music. But the tale is it's a really good spooky story.
Mm.
And you get some graphic issues go down as well, definitely. And yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis and Janet Leigh are in it as well.
Yeah, Tom Atkins is probably one of my favourite underrated horror actors as well. He's
Tom Atkins in it.
Put some respect on his name too, man. Yeah, that man's been through it, mate.
He has. And Tom Atkins always likes to align himself. For some reason, he ends up with getting a kissing scene with young women, because he does get an intimate scene with Jamie Lee Curtis.
My man. Hey man,
yeah, definitely. There's some really good, like, there's a really good Blu-ray of it out right now. So definitely check that out. The Fog. It's the original, not the remake.
Hey, don't be hating on Tom Welling's Fog.
You know, I've got a place in my heart for Tom Welling, but he doesn't win me the best decisions. He's a bit like Val Kilmer that way, you know.
Oh, he tried. Bless him.
He tried.
I blame Chief about a dozen.
You know what still hurts is still seeing him when he found out that what's her name was a cult member, and his little face. God, he's literally heartbroken. Yeah. What? It's like, yeah, she's going down for recruiting people to a cult. What? It's like, look, you hurt Clark. Why did you do that?
Apparently, they might be doing an animated series.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Apparently, rumor has it that yeah, because there was because obviously with the DC fandom thing they did. They obviously were celebrating the 20th anniversary or Smallville.
Yeah.
20 years or small.
And where has that time gone?
Jesus Christ. Oh. But yeah, and they were obviously just sending bits and pieces. So it was Tom Welling and Michael Rosenberg. And once again, Michael Rosenberg, best adaptation of Lex Luthor in live action.
Yeah.
The only adaptation I will let you say was close to it is Clancy Brown's animated version. That's literally the but you cannot question me. I refuse to listen to anyone's opinion on that.
Yeah, no, I have to give it to you. Even though we hold up the original film, it's got to say, man, Gene Hackman, no.
Yeah. Gene Hackman, yeah. No.
No.
What's his face from the Man of Steel? Not Man of Steel. Batman v Batman v Superman, no. Jason Eisenberg, hell no.
No.
Kevin Spacey, no. What?
Spacey.
Spacey. Oh fuck no.
No. Hell no. Hell to the no.
Yeah.
Not everyone can. It's that's the thing that the to me, like, even when you're looking back now on the original, the Gene Hackman version is pantomime.
Big time, really?
it's painful, but you know, but then I just forgive it, because I'm just like, just give it to Christopher Reeve, okay, thank you very much. That mother, like, just give it to my mother, give it to Christopher Reeve, thank you very much. That's what I want to see. Interesting. Any gaming recommendations, Ruff?
So I was like, Prince of Darkness is John Carpenter, is what, bloody hell, it's basically the same film.
Wait, what? What's the same film?
Isn't it basically... I'm pretty sure it's very similar to The Fog.
Okay, no. Okay, right. Sorry, no. I'm not going to give spoilers, but basically...
It has Tom Pleasant in it as well.
Okay, right. Once again, you know how John B. Gay and come for you people, and he will give them work again and again and again if he can. The Fog is basically, there is a small town in the USA that's celebrating, like, their bicentenary or whatever. And... at the celebrations, this fog kind of comes into town, and what they find out is that the founders of the town, when they were setting the town up, this is back in the day, they were notified that there was a ship coming in, and they were full of, they said they basically were lepers. But what the town then did, is they turned off the lighthouse light, so that ship crashed onto the rocks, and they basically went to the wreckage, took the gold from that was on this ship, and created the town with it. So what's happening is on this like 200 year anniversary is the ghosts of those people who were killed are coming back to take their revenge.
Okay, it's fine. It's different from Prince of Darkness. I apologize.
Yeah, Prince of Darkness is there were some it's college researchers. Yeah. They're all having the same dream.
Do you know what it is? That kind of confused me about it. It's the priest in it, because there's priests in both films.
Priests in both of them. Yeah.
In The Prince of Darkness, it's Donald Pleasant.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And then in I don't know who it is in The Fog. I haven't seen The Fog. So
yeah, it's not a well-known person. Yeah. But also as well the thing about Prince of Darkness is a lot of it looks a lot like Assault on Precinct 13. Some of the shots outside the church look really similar and are shot really similarly to Assault on Precinct 13.
Okay, fair enough.
So and that's the thing, you know a John Carpenter film when you see it.
Mm.
You just know it. You just look at it and you go, it's a John Carpenter film. Whether it's Christine or Assault on Precinct 13 or The Fog, you just go, it's a John Carpenter film.
Now, thank you for mentioning that, right? Because that is a film I'm after, but I can't find it.
What's that?
Christine.
Well,
Assault on Precinct 13 is another one that's hard to come by. But no, I need to have Christine in my life.
What about the John Carpenter classic, Ghost of Mars?
Oh, whoa.
Whoa.
We're talking about horror movies, so I guess that fits right in.
It's got a great performance from Ice Cube.
You can't even finish that.
Claire Duvall. You know, we all love Claire Duvall.
Do love Claire Duvall.
That chick from, from Species.
Natasha Henstridge.
That's the one. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Poor man's Terry Crews. I can't remember the guy's name, but it's not Terry Crews. But when I thought about the guy, I thought Terry Crews. Even though no, it's not Terry Crews. That makes me racist slightly. I basically say look like.
Well done.
I'm
one pit episode. Great.
Apparently, I have a racist quota. Yay!
One pit episode. I love John Carpenter, but sometimes it's like
he's allowed to.
James Woods.
Did he do what?
Oh no!
Vampires with James Woods.
He did.
Wasn't that bad back then?
It wasn't that good either. I went to like that film so much because it's like,
thank you, bro.
It's vampires, guns. I thought, yeah. I can do this. The trailer lied to me. That's one of those moments where the trailer lied to me. It wasn't.
Well, let me put it this way. I can top that. Avoid Dracula. Was it Wes Craven's one? The young looking Gerard Butler.
Was that a Dracula 2000 or whatever?
Oh, God.
That's what I had on my Epson, isn't it? On my Game Fix.
Yeah.
Okay. Was there ever any a good film with 2000 or H2? Has there ever been a good film with that in it? I feel like once it does it, it's
Pokemon.
Okay.
Got a film called Pokemon
2000? Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Double check. I really hope there is, because I was like, Pokemon. I lied. 2001.
Boom! Pokemon 2000. Pokemon the movie 2000. I win.
Okay. Aside from Pokemon, is the exception to the rule. But other than that. I don't think that's a good film.
I love how you're just like, yeah, you believe me. I love it. Thank you.
Trusting you. You're not gonna prove me wrong.
Ghost of Mars had Pam Grier as well. Of course, it's a great film.
Oh, Pam.
It only got 4.9 on IMDb. That's not great, is it?
No. Oh God.
Yes. One of the highlights of the film is Jason Statham finding Pam Grier's head in the steak. That was just like, wow. Okay.
Jackie Brown, what?
Speaking of Pam Grier, sorry, I don't know why I've come back to Smallville again, but Pam Grier, Amanda Waller, awesome performance, and okay, I'm gonna stop now.
Oh,
Smallville.
Really? Oh.
She was in Smallville as Amanda Waller.
Once again, another one who's not aging, Pam. Pam, tell me how. Miss Greer, if you're nasty. Yes,
she's an example of Black Don't Crack. She is a prime example.
Mm-hmm.
Still got it.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Well, anything you guys going to be watching this Halloween or playing?
Well, I did say I was going to play the Resident Evil games that I hadn't played. So
How's it out for you?
I'm not going to lie. Like, I started playing because I'm doing it in order. So it's Resident Evil Revelations, then Resident Evil 5, then Resident Evil Revelations 2, then Resident Evil 6. Yeah. I'm on Revelations 1 at the moment, and I am not feeling it. Like, maybe it's because I've played Resident Evil 7 and 8, or Village, basically, and that's just, like, a whole different level.
We said that last time, right? Yeah. That it's tainted the experience.
Yeah, so it's like... Because, like, Revelations by no means is a bad game. It's just done in such a way, like... Like, even, like, Resident Evil 4 is, like... I love Resident Evil 4, but like it doesn't feel similar to Resident Evil 4. Cause I briefly played Resident Evil 5 before, and it feels very similar to that. And I had problems with that. That's why I never finished it. Cause it just it just felt weird. It didn't feel like a Resident Evil game. And two, they were racist towards black people in it.
Oh yeah.
When I say racist towards black people, I mean they've gotten better at doing black characters in things now. Ooh. So I'll give them credit. But like. I'm just gonna say it's for a fact. No man or woman is so black they have a white sheen. That's not how it works. No one's that black they're white. It doesn't work. They're either black or black.
But not like this.
But not like look, to the point I'm done.
We could do a whole episode on gaming and skin tones and lighting and how they don't like people of color properly and everything. And you know what? That's another horror story in itself. So let's just not.
But also, I'm going back to an old school horror film, which is called Chopping Mall, which is a personal favorite of mine. So
you love Chopping Mall. Chopping Mall.
Do you know what? I would be up for them to do a remake of Chopping Mall if they do it right.
Oh, so would I? Because like, but I want cheese.
I want the cheese.
I want the cheese. Like, I don't want a serious, like, we're gonna take this to Tolkien levels of adaptation and fix it. No, I want the cheese. I want the big robots that should not be able to get up the stairs, and the fact that the guy had to basically put on the suit to get up the stairs because the design of the robot was too big to get up elevators. That's what I want. It's so bad. Yeah, check it out. You know, that's a highlight for the video shot.
Chopping Mall, and also the Autopsy of Jane Doe. Give that a watch.
Yeah, you always do. You always do recommend that, don't you, bro? I think that's a good one too. I want to watch the Mortuary Collection on Shudder. That seems to be really, really good. It's anthology, and you guys know how I love anthology.
I've actually heard about one, actually. Yeah,
I've heard that's really, really good, so I want to check that out. But I'm going to be watching the Fog, as I said before. So definitely the original The Fog. And I think I've got to give 13 Ghosts a go, bruv.
Oh, 13 Ghosts. That still holds a place in my heart. A big shout out to my sis for getting me one of the pages from 13 Ghosts. Yep, I love it. Love it. Got Juggernaut.
If you've never seen, I mean, I know it's on Netflix and now everything. Like, what I would recommend if you can, and you're really intrigued, get the DVD. I couldn't find a Blu-ray copy of it. I've been trying. But get the special, or just look up on YouTube. I think you can find the special behind the scenes of it. And it goes into each of the characters in the Dark Zodiac. And the level of detail is absolutely amazing. Like, me and Rob watched that. We killed it.
Yeah, I think that's what made me fall in love with it more. Because just the elaborate backstory they gave each ghost. I was like, yep, this is it. That's me.
And how it translates into how he designed the ghosts and everything is so, so good. It just makes it make more sense. So when you see them in the actual film, it then just makes even more sense when you're seeing them. So definitely check that out. I actually will, if I can find it, I'll leave a link below in our show notes. Big man, you got any recommendations?
Let's see.
Other than Halloween Kills, of course.
Yeah, of course. But I'm going to roll back with the classics. American Werewolf in London.
Nice.
Yeah, good choice.
I'm actually going to delve into a film I haven't seen in years, and that is the classic Prom Night.
I haven't seen that in 20-something years.
I've never watched it.
And this only because of, obviously, the Scream references, and everyone remembers Scream, obviously, because also a new one forthcoming next year. Also, to be fair, I've just got really nostalgic horror movies right now. Watched Carrie again recently the other day. Absolutely fantastic film. Love it.
Which one?
The original, original.
Oh, okay.
Two is not that, it's not that bad.
Oh, we're talking about Rage. The Rage.
Yeah, it's not that bad. Yeah. The remakes, you know what it is? It's the, oh my God, Julie thingy who plays Carrie's mum.
Woman, oh my God, how she's, okay, this sounds, okay, don't take this the wrong way. I don't mean this negatively, but how is she still alive?
I don't know.
Because because it's funny, because she pops up, what's her name, Laurie Piper.
Laurie, that's the thing, the mothers in both of them are brilliant. Laurie Piper is amazing. And Julianne Moore, that's it.
Julianne Moore was really good.
She was also really good because she gave it a different energy. But if you want to be terrified, yeah, Laurie Piper for the win.
Also, obviously, massive shout out to The Exorcist every year. Gotta watch that. Absolutely love that film. But I'm actually slightly worried about where they're going with the new follow-ups after all this time. That I'm worried about. And finally, no means please, if it's Halloween, you know Evil Dead's going to be there somewhere.
Which one?
Oh, the original.
Why have you got to say which one now?
It's true, because, right, oh my God, so many of the things that we like have just been either remade or redone. And I didn't know Laurie Piper was still alive.
I didn't discover she was still alive because I was watching, I started watching the MacGyver remake series.
Oh yeah,
and she pops up in it, like just in one episode. I was like, "Holy crap! How are you still about?" Like I don't want to believe you're evil, like, because no evil ever dies.
Because she looks innocent, but then she does stuff, and you're like, "No!" And everyone will laugh at you. Is stained into my brain. So, yeah, so many of the things that we liked or came up have like been either redone several times. So you have to be clear. Like, which one do I mean? Which Carrie? I mean the 2013. No, the Rage. No.
Oh, Chucky TV series is now out, which has been given a good write-up, so that's another one for the list.
Yeah, I've seen good things about the Chucky TV show, and weirdly, Amazon's trying to tell me to watch the I Know What You Did Last Summer series.
Hey, oh, you're right.
It's on there. It's on there now.
I saw that too. Okay, one last question before we go.
Yeah.
Who is your favorite evil bitch? Especially described because they are evil bitches. So when you think of evil bitch, she's the first person that comes to mind. Uh-oh, she's laughing. You can't use our mum, Chantel, doesn't count. You can't use our mum. Fictional evil bitches. There, Jesus Christ.
Oh.
She's disappointed as well.
That's a hard one.
That's what she said.
Oh, bruv, you're better than that.
No, I'm not.
No, you're not. what's yours, bruv?
Actress name, you probably know the name. Alice Krig. She played think Sleepwalkers.
Oh
yes, the mum.
Yeah, the Borg Queen. We start.
Yes, her.
Think that bitch from Silent Hill, the film.
Yeah. Oh my God, she's horror. Oh my God, she's good.
She's so good at playing that type of character, and she does it so well. She does it so well. Like most of her film roles, she's always that kind of character.
Yeah, she is, isn't she?
I think, the only film I saw in that she wasn't that character was Thor Dark World. That was literally it. But if you blink, you miss her, to be honest.
Miss her, yeah.
I think one I got, I can't really call her an evil bitch, but she was fucking cold as ice in this role. I think it's Octavia Spencer. What's the name of that film?
Ma.
Where
Ma. Oh, she, like, Ma. Oh, she was traveling.
Oh. See, geez. I'm thinking Fairuza Balk in The Craft.
Oh, yeah, she had to go, man.
She had to go. Oh, my God. The mum from The People Under the Stairs.
Yeah. Oh, her. She was, oh, God. She was a nasty bitch as well.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
See?
She was, I feel like she was the inspiration. If I knew it was okay for me to punch a woman because that she someone like that existed, that I could punch her, it'd be okay. Yeah. I wouldn't be a bad. Oh my God, she was horrible.
See,
she's just so mean and nasty. Oh. I think what it was because I had a crush on the girl who played Alice.
Yeah,
and the way I think it was that moment when she threw her into the bath with boiling hot water. Hello.
Yeah.
That cut out. I didn't hear any of that, bruv.
Yeah, okay, so, do you know, because I had a bit of a crush on Alice, the girl in the house.
Yes.
And, like, seeing when she threw her in the boiling water, I was like, oh my God. Sorry, I got something.
Well, I tapped it. I touched her. No.
What is that? What is her name? What is that? I need to find out her name. I thought Finger Rose was in that film.
People on the Stairs, man. Oh my gosh. There's also
Wendy Robbie.
Wendy Robbie, okay.
Her character name was Woman.
Wow. Okay. Well, to be fair, yeah, they didn't have names. You just kind of guessed that they were.
Because yeah, they thought they were mom, husband and wife, mom, pa,
but they
yeah.
were. Yeah, but they were brother and sister.
Yeah, they were brother and sister.
Made it really weird. Thank you very much. I'm trying to think. See, there's loads of characters. There's loads of. I mean, there's also L Driver as well.
Mrs. Boys, obviously.
Yeah, but she was. They weren't nasty. She was nasty.
She was.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, of course
I'm
not.
I'm sorry. I'm just getting. I'm just getting.
You're getting your emotions up in there. It's okay, bro. There you go. Breathe it out.
Oh, she's so pretty.
Lynn Shay in a recent film called Oh God, where she plays a very crazy woman renting out a room. And I just love Lynn Shay. I've always liked her. She's crazy in this film. She's absolutely batshit nuts. And because it's Lynn Shay, it throws it right off. Because you're like, but you should be nice. Why are you doing? Why are you dressed like that? Oh, don't do that. Please don't look like that. That's
and one last shout out, yeah. And sorry. Fantastic actress, but no matter what she does, that role will forever stick into my head. And that'd be Kathy Bates for Misery.
Kathy Bates in Misery.
Oh, she's lovely. She's normally playing a good evil bitch as well. Oh, God.
Yeah, you wanted her head bashed in when that was happening because you were just like, yes! No,
okay, yeah, we need to end this now. I actually made myself angry.
I'm gonna say, yeah, everyone just getting angrier and angrier and angrier. So we're gonna stop right now. We're gonna wish you all a really good Halloween. Please stay safe. And look after yourself. Enjoy our few recommendations. Try and get as wound up as we did, especially about Wendy Robbie, because Rob is real vexed about that right now. But on that note, if you would like to message us, on that note, if you'd like to get through to us, give us some feedback, you know, engage us a little, you can email us at stjudesavengers@gmail.com. We also, our Instagram is messed.pod on Instagram and messed on Twitter. Bruv, what's your socials?
She's still alive. Known for playing mentally and emotionally disturbed women, bitch. Anyway, sorry, what?
That's not your socials, bro.
Sorry. You can find me on YouTube under the moniker Instant Classic Gaming. You can also find me on Twitch, TikTok, and Instagram under Instant Classic_Gaming. Big man, how about you?
I am very easy to find. Boom, boom. I'm on Twitter, 43782. And finally, you can find me on Instagram at Mr_Roberts_1.
Oh, on that note, enjoy yourselves, people.
What's a bad must... thought?
Oh, God.
Could you imagine Wendy Robbie, Alex Krig, and Kathy Bates in like a reverse a milkshake glitter bullshit film kind of thing, but they're just
No, on that note, we're going to stop that right there. This is not good for anyone's mental health. Please, people, rest up, because we don't need this right about now, okay? Good vibes only, bruv. We got to talk offline, because are you okay? I'm very worried.
I think he needs help.
I need to send some grape KA or something, you know.
Real KA anymore, is it?
Okay, the grape Kool-Aid and the sparkling water. It's okay. You get the same vibes. People, take care.
Ladies and gentlemen, we out.
Later on. Bye.
And that's why we're messed up. Produced by the St. Jude's Avengers, edited by Instant Classic Gaming, and music produced by Box Room Music.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.